For the last few weeks, we have been talking about what the Bible says about walking in the gifts of the Spirit. And I shared this on Sunday morning, but let me share kind of again kind of what happened last week. The Lord told me as I was praying for this service that we were going to specifically be focusing on a word of knowledge, and more importantly, a word of revelation knowledge, that as I minister, and what's the whole point of this teaching? Well, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that the church, let's just turn over and look at it real quick. I want to lay this foundation. We're not in a hurry to try to get through things. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's look at verse 26. I'm going to go to my headset, okay? Hallelujah. Oh, did you find your Bible? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. Before I read this, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, we're so thankful for your Spirit. We're so thankful for your Word. We're thankful for what Jesus did for us. Holy Spirit, have your way tonight. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to just reveal things to people as they're sitting here tonight, Father. I know the direction that you've told me to go. And so in the name of Jesus, we just declare that this is a place of freedom for us to move in the things of the Spirit, and we'll be edified, we'll be built up in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is taking 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, and he's really kind of describing what's going on in this church at the time. And so he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. You find out over in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gift of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healing, tongues and interpretation, all of these different gifts that is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, then as he gets over into chapter 14, what he's doing is he's then explaining how the gifts of the Spirit are to operate in church services. Okay. And the way that, Pentecostal churches have typically approached this is that the gifts of the Spirit should operate from the pulpit and the pulpit only. And they don't really, the pulpit doesn't trust the Holy Spirit to move in the lives of the people that are sitting in the congregation. But that's not really the model that Paul was advocating here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He really expects, let me step back for a moment. What's the whole point of church? The whole point of church is to grow people up so that they become mature believers hearing the voice of God on their own. The point of church is not just for you to come and just listen to the pastor just give you a message and then you leave on Sunday morning and you think, wow, that was a great message, and maybe I'll do it and maybe I don't. And, you know, I did my social duty and I went to church. That's not what church is about. It is to create a full grown body that everybody is hearing the voice of God. The power of the resurrection, the miracle of the new believer, the new covenant life in the believer, is that instead of God speaking in the Old Testament through a prophet, Isaiah, prophet Jeremiah, different prophets over hundreds of years, the difference is now the Holy Ghost that has been speaking throughout all of these years is going to be in you, so that he can talk to you. And God says, I will write my laws on their minds and on their hearts. And so he becomes an individual God, not somebody that is distant, but somebody that is living on the inside of us. And so the job for me as a pastor is to help you walk in that, so that you're benefiting others. The gifts of the Spirit are for you to walk in. So when Paul was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, he wasn't talking to ministers. He was talking to the church. Now, in chapter 14, verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a song. You have a doctrine. You have a tongue. You have a revelation. You have an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So he is talking about the congregation. Everybody comes with these different gifts, these different revelations. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says, and so then he starts giving instruction for how that's to operate in a church service. For instance, he says, if any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, let one interpret. Or then verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, let others judge. So he's really kind of giving order as how it's supposed to operate. But the key here, and what the church, I believe, has been missing, is not allowing the congregation to really grow up into the things of God. Pastors want to control and want to hold on, and they're afraid that somebody's going to get a revelation and decide they're going to go out and start their own church. You know? But this is not about building a church. It's about building the church. Amen? Now, last week, as we were talking about a word of knowledge or word of revelation knowledge, the way that God had me share it, is, you know, I said, as I'm teaching, God's going to give people a revelation knowledge, a word of knowledge concerning something about what is being taught, and it'll be something from the Spirit of God. How many of you have, as you've sat in meetings, God would just enlighten something to you? See, that's scriptural. Ephesians chapter 1 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And so he shows you something. That's a word of revelation knowledge is what it is. Now, as I was ministering last week, in the middle of it, I stopped because I said, if you have a word, then just raise your hand. So as I'm ministering, I knew by the Spirit of God that somebody had something to share. So I stopped and I said, okay, does anybody have anything to share? And nobody raised their hand. So maybe Pastor missed it. And guess what? Pastor is going to miss it occasionally, because all of this that we're doing, I mean, for you that have been here in church, you know, for years, this is all brand new. We are stepping into uncharted territory. God says he wants to return the church to what it's supposed to be, and not to this just this organization that just does something from a traditional standpoint. Right. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our services. Right. Amen. Amen. I don't need to come in with a plan, try to package it into 45 minutes, and let's get out. Let's let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen. So I moved on last week. I said, okay, we'll just keep going. And that's okay, because in this place, this is a place where we're not judging. Somebody decides they want to step out. What if they miss it? You know, one of the first weeks, Craig stepped out. There was a gift of tongues and interpretation. And then Craig says, I went so far, and then I got on and I started going past what the Holy Spirit said. But see, it wasn't everybody was like, well, Craig, you just missed it. You know what? This was like, Craig, at least you stepped out of the boat and you did something. The rest of you missed it because y'all sat still, right? And so after the service, and then we did have some people towards the end stand up and share some things. Of course, having mentioned that to Craig a couple of times, he'll never do anything again. But beyond that, no, he will, because this is a place of love. Amen. This is because it's us wanting to edify and build each other. And so I did have a couple of people come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I had this that I was going to share, or this that I was going to share. And then I was talking to Melanie, and I just said, Melanie, and I'm using her as an example because, again, this is not judging Melanie. You know, this is showing you what's going on and how God's wanting to move through us. And so I said, Melanie, I know that you don't like talking in front of people. And she said, I know, I had something to share. I know. And I said, so when did you have something to share? Was it when I said, at this time, somebody, does anybody have anything to share? She goes, yes, that was me. So it was suggested to me that maybe the way that we normally teach, where I'm over here and everybody's just kind of facing there, is that maybe it, and people are spread out, that maybe it's the it's a little uncomfortable, you know, and a little intimidating, you know, for people to get out and come up and then stand in front of everybody else. So for that reason, just for Wednesday night, I'm not doing this for Sunday mornings, but just for Wednesday night, because you guys are really seeking after the things of God. And it is just my goal and my desire to help you step into those things. So whatever I can do to help you cross over that threshold, you know, and feel more comfortable, because now we have people over here that are looking at people over here, and it's not always looking forward, see? And so maybe this is a little bit more a comfortable environment. And the other thing is I knew that I needed to keep this section right back here, because Dad's not going to leave this section. So we wanted to make this easy for him as well. See, I'm just trying to help everybody. Glory to God. So let's see what the Holy Spirit does tonight. Amen. Turn with me over to John chapter 15. I know exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I give you praise. Father, I give you praise. The things that I have to teach you tonight will help you in regards to knowing if what you are hearing it will help you clarify that it's the voice of God. It will help you, because what we're talking about is the gifts of the Spirit operating in a corporate or in a church environment. Okay? See, not everything that God tells you is for everybody else. You need to understand that, number one. Not everything that God reveals to you is for everybody else. And you need to be able to recognize, is what I heard, is that just for me? I've used this example once before, but, you know, for there are some people that don't drink coffee. For instance, Andrew Womack's never drank a drop of coffee in his life. But there's some people that the Holy Spirit will say, you don't need to eat certain types of food. But sometimes some people will take that. Andrew doesn't do this, but some people will take that, and then they'll start preaching that to everybody else. And they'll say, well, this is what God told me, and so you don't need to eat this certain kind of food. No, God told you that for you. He didn't tell you that to go tell everybody else that that's what they're supposed to do. You are not other people's God.
That's right.
You just need to develop your own ability to hear God's voice in your life. So you need to be able to discern if what you are hearing is for you or if it's for everybody else. Amen. Now, John chapter 15, and no wonder that didn't look right. That was in the wrong place. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come. Now, who's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, this is very, very important. He is telling you what one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is for him to testify of Jesus. Amen. Now, for him to testify of Jesus means that the things that you hear from him would be in relation to pointing to Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to Revelations. And let's look at, I have to look this one up. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, before I explain that, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in who? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And then and we can go on, but I want you to get this. Prophecy. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all of prophecy serve for one purpose in the Old Testament, and that was to point to the coming of Jesus. Everything was to reveal Jesus to us. Now, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come and he would testify of me. And then this confirms it right here, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, we're in that time, in the fullness of time, that God might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, we can sing great songs about your great name, Jesus, you know, just like we did tonight. And we can talk about that. And we can talk about great principles in the Word, and we can talk about God. But sometimes I believe that we lose the reverence and the focus on who Jesus really is. And that's what God wants to reveal to us. So this is what we're going to do tonight. We're going to draw on this. I'm going to share some other scriptures. I'm going to share some things. But as I share and as I go through some different scriptures, I want you to have ears to hear. Okay? And tonight, let's allow the Holy Spirit to give us revelation in the knowledge of him, Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to testify concerning Jesus. Amen? Amen. So that's the direction. Are you ready? Okay. So this is the time for you to start listening to the Holy Spirit. Listening. As I share some things. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, get a hold of that. Giving thanks unto the Father that's made us meet. What does that mean? He's made us suitable. He's made us able. He's changed us so that now we can partake of the inheritance with all the other saints. Now, what inheritance is he talking about? Hold your finger there and go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of what? All things. By whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. Now you notice here that as the writer of Hebrews is talking about the word, as he's ministering by the Holy Spirit, the focus goes to Jesus. Do you see what's happening here? The focus is going to him. Hath in these last days spoken unto to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Go back to Colossians now. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father that has now made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, I love that scripture because this is something that Jesus did for us. He hath, that word hath is past tense. I am delivered. Say, I am delivered.
I am delivered.
I have been delivered from the power of darkness. And he says he has translated us, or he's moved us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
What does that tell me? It tells me that I was controlled by darkness. I was controlled by Satan. I was controlled by death. And somewhere along the way, I made a decision to receive Jesus Christ. And when I did that, my spirit became born again, and I got moved out of that realm of darkness. I got moved from under darkness's control, and I got moved into the kingdom. Somebody say kingdom.
Kingdom.
The kingdom of his dear Son. A kingdom that Jesus himself is ruling and reigning over. Hallelujah. So I see now that I'm in a different place. I don't need to allow darkness and the devil to dominate my life.
Amen.
Now, as long as we're ignorant of this fact, as long as we're ignorant and we accept what happens in our life, then we can stay in darkness all we want to. Satan will try to enforce that into our lives. But when I, as a child of God, recognize I have a promise from God, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness no longer has power or control over me. Anything that belongs in the realm of darkness no longer dominates me. Amen. I'm in the kingdom of his dear Son. Let's go on. In whom? In who? In whom? Who's that talking about? Jesus is talking about the Son. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image? Who's he talking about? Jesus. Of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. By who? Jesus. And for him. Who? Jesus. And he is before all things. Who? Jesus. Now, what form did Jesus exist in before all things? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. When God said, let there be light, he was speaking the word that created everything that we live in today, right? And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh. Jesus, the word. All things were created by him. Verse 17. So he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that, and look at this phrase, in all things he might have the preeminence. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. He is the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the body. The church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. All of this was done that he might have the preeminence. In other words, be first place in everything. Everything in this, in heaven, everything in earth, everything points to Jesus. And then it says in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they're in the earth or they're things in heaven. Hallelujah. So, get a revelation of the majesty of who Jesus is. We can get so focused on the principles of the Word of God and on prayer and things like that, that sometimes maybe we lose this image of who Jesus really is. He has a name that is above every name. Now, who has something to share that points to Jesus? Let's let the Holy Spirit move for just a moment. I have other things to share, but we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to start pointing to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Let's just give it a moment. And if I missed it, I missed it. And we'll keep going. And it's no problem. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let's get a picture of who Jesus is. May say, well, this isn't normal. This is not the way I'm used to doing church. Well, me either. Verse 10, Revelation chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death." Now see, during this time, people focus on the crucifixion. During this time, people talk about the suffering that he did on the cross. And all of that is true. But the Jesus that is on the cross is not the Jesus that we serve today. This is the picture and the revelation that we should be getting of who Jesus is. Jesus is victorious. Jesus has a name that is above every name. The Bible says far above all principalities, all powers, and every name that is named, whether in heaven, whether in earth, whether below the earth, and also every name, whether whatever is to come into the future. Jesus's name is above every name. I was talking to somebody last week, and they have been having some sickness. The doctors have not been able to figure out what it is. And so finally, after months of going to the doctor finally gave them a diagnosis. And it was not a good diagnosis. Usually most diagnoses are not good. The doctors, you know, the more you seek, the more you'll find, I think, when it comes to things from the doctors. But, you know, when this person came to me and said, "Well, this is what they're telling me, and this is not a good diagnosis," I said, "Well, now you have a name. Now you have a name, and the name of Jesus is above the name of that diagnosis." And so instead of just saying a prayer, "Lord, heal me," now I'm going to get very specific and deal with the diagnosis. That's the Jesus that we serve. When Peter and John went to the temple and they raised the lame man up, and they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have," they knew they had something, "but what I have, I give unto thee," what did he say? "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." But you know what they did, Craig? See, come here. Okay. So you're the average minister, right? I'll tell you what. Sit right here. You're the crippled man for just a moment. Let me use this as an example. Okay, no, move your legs. No, keep them still. You can't move them.
Fair enough.
That's right. So, in the name, I'm going to give you what I have. In the name of Jesus, no, that's not even what the average minister would do. Let me lay hands on you. Lord, heal my brother. Lord, I just pray that you heal him. Lord, we thank you that Jesus by his stripes has healed Craig. So Lord, we're just mixing faith with it right now in Jesus' name.
Help.
And God, we thank you that you are the Lord that heals him. And so I'm going to pray every single healing scripture I know in my prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to get you healed. I'm trying to convince myself that I believe it.
That's right. That's it. Come on.
Come on. That's exactly it. You're going down the list. And you're going to keep going until you feel like faith has come.
Exactly. Wow.
But see, Peter, we want to walk like the old, like the church did in the early. You still, you know, you can't. You're not healed yet. Because I promise you, the way that I prayed, like everybody else is praying, you're still sitting there. Because after the prayer, and Lord, we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, brother, when you go home, just act on your faith and it'll eventually come. Because the one thing I'm not going to do as an average minister is I'm certainly not going to say, here, let's just get on up out of this chair and watch you fall over. Because that's my vision. My vision is failure. My vision is not success. Right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to be real for a moment here. What Peter and John did is they knew something. I said, you know, I don't have any money with me, but what I have, I'll give you. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. No. You got to. Read your Bible, man. He's just ready to walk. He's tired of sitting there. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then it says they reached down and they grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up.
Yeah, they did.
There was no hesitation on their part because they knew that they had a name that was above every name. Now, he also knew what caused that to happen. Because when they came to him, everybody running together like, oh my gosh, look what's happening. And they're all excited and everything. Peter said, wait a minute, why are you looking at us like by our own holiness that we've done it? See, there's another key right there when it comes to prayer. And when it comes to believing. If you are waiting for your faith to rise to that level based on how much you pray, how much you read, and all of that, I can promise you, you'll never get there. But he said, it's faith in his name that hath made this man strong. Yea, the faith that comes by him. In other words, everything is focused right back to him. As the Lord reveals and as the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus unto you, that revelation, this is good, that revelation is given to you so that as he's revealed to you, he can work through you and to produce faith in you so that the power will be there. We need to see a victorious risen Christ.
Amen.
Now, stop for just a moment. Does anybody else have a revelation of Jesus that they want to share? And it could be one word. I've told you before, it doesn't need to be long. We're not talking about a great explanation of some profound revelation. Let me say this for a moment as we continue to step into these things on Wednesday nights. I want you to think about this for a moment. The temptation is to say, I don't have anything profound, and so I'm not going to stand up and share anything. If somebody got up and said, you know what? I got a revelation of the love that Jesus has for us and what he did on the cross. That word could minister to somebody that hasn't really even been thinking about the love of Christ in their lives. I want you to understand that what God has and what he wants to do through the congregation is not something so deep to make you look like, man, he's really getting something good. No. This is about us sharing and edifying one another with just simple words. Just simple words. Okay. So, come on.
I'll say one thing about the man at the gate. You know, Peter said to him, such as I have, give I thee. That guy still thought he was going to get something. He didn't know he was going to get jerked
That's right.
up off his feet. it was not the faith of that man one bit. It was the people standing here that knew who they were. See? So, you know, usually they'll step back. I wanted him to say it, but I'll say it. And say, now do something you couldn't do.
That's what they say.
That's their most favorite statement.
Do something you couldn't do.
And what they do when they did that, they dumped it right back on you.
Wow.
They didn't know who they was.
Wow.
See, Jesus knew who he was. He never said that.
That's right.
Okay, he told you a bunch of promises. But there's always a but to a promise. I've got to find everything. I've got so many places to go. Hebrews was one of them. In Hebrews, he read out of verse 3, chapter 1, and uphold all things by the word of his power. Mm-hmm. That's where his power is in the word. It's in the word. So as long as you use the word and have faith in his name, it will work. But then there's one more. If you have ears to hear. It's in James chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to start right there. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That means he freely gives you wisdom when you ask for it. And last week, Pastor was teaching us about Solomon. He didn't ask for money or anything. He asked for wisdom. And then it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, verse 7 is very important. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, God's promises are yes and amen, but there's a part we have to play. And when you're looking at life and death, and you know who you are, you can't waver. But see, where you learn not to waver is when you believe in the heart those things which you say shall come to pass. You'll have Mark 11:23 or 24, wherever. See, you have to believe the things you say come to pass. You have to all the time be on top of what you say. A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways, all of them. And all means all to God. All, for some reason or another, don't mean all to us. But it means all to God. When he says all things are possible, you want to hook up with that. Because all means all. And in the last days, you heard the pastor say Sunday. I think it was Sunday. He said how important it is. He stepped out of being a pastor and started being prophetic. And he said, how important it is that God wants y'all to get this, living out of the kingdom. But see, under the law, he could take care of you. But the old covenant's gone. He can't use that to protect you anymore. The way you're protected today is through grace, through faith in his name, mm-hmm. through the words that come out of your mouth. That's how you're protected today. And in the latter days, and we're in them. And he's teaching this church things, not just for this church. I mean, I've been around 62 years and I've been in the Word for 30 something. And I've never heard the things taught that he's teaching. I knew them, but I've never heard anybody in the church teach them because it's a dangerous thing to teach. If it really is, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, liberty, but nobody seems to want it. Mm-hmm. They want the law and they want rules and they want all, but they don't want to. But wow. They'll tell you the Scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm quitting.
So that's good. Becky, come here. So maybe it's not exactly something that has Jesus in it, but maybe there's some things that the Lord's been sharing with you.
You sure you want to turn me on? I'm gonna have to pray a minute. Y'all are just gonna have to pray with me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord.
Oh, Father, yes. Okay. I'm just trying to think of what story to start with, or where to start, which one I need to share. Oh, dear Jesus. Okay. I guess I'm going to have to share my mistakes, because God was not going to let me loose. I hadn't told you this. I've told Kathy, and I told Craig, and both of them said, share with Mark. And I said, no. I done shared with Mark 2 mistakes, 3 mistakes, and in a ball game, you're out. But I'm going to have to share. And it's to do with you, Jennifer, also. And you guys have to forgive me for not obeying God when we were here. But God gave me something else when we were praying for your dad. And when we were all of us was praying, and like you said a while ago, it could be just one word. And I kept getting joy, joy, joy. And it kept just coming up and coming up. Well, of course, I didn't go on it, because I didn't think I should. I don't know. I just didn't feel liberty. But that's okay. Another story. But when I got home the next day, I took the day off, and I was cutting grass. And I got through cutting grass, and when I got through cutting grass, it was still in me. That was still in me. So I sat down in the grass, and I started praying. And the prayer that I would have prayed that night started coming up. And I started praying it out, and it started coming. And I said, there's joy. Joy's coming in the morning. Joy, joy, joy. And I thought, look to that joy. Look to that joy. And I was in the service, and I was praying it to you guys, to the family. And Mark, and God, what was kept coming in my spirit was that to minister to Jennifer, I said, look at all the good memories. Look at the good memories. And I said, look at the memories of your dad when the children was born. I said, think of all those memories. I said, think of those memories. And they just kept coming and kept coming. And I just kept praying, and so I went home, and I didn't see what you posted. And I didn't know this until late that afternoon, or it was really that night. I got on Facebook, and I seen what you wrote, and it's like God told me. He says, Becky, trust me. Trust me when I speak to you. Trust me. Step out, step out. And I said, okay, Father, I'm sorry I missed that. I missed that. I missed that opportunity to minister to Jennifer and the family. I said, but that was from you. I said, because it's exactly what Mark said in the Facebook, which everybody's probably seen it. But the thing that I want to share with what you were saying tonight about the name of mm-hmm. Jesus, I had something happen to me today. A girl that goes to church where I've been going, she called me. Well, she called me last night, or didn't call me. She messaged me, you know, all this text stuff. And she said, I've lost my faith in God. She says, I'm just, you know, I'm through with God. He's answering everybody else's prayer, and he's not answering mine. And I thought, okay, we've all been there. You know, we've all had that thought, like, okay, God don't love me. He loves everybody else. Like, why am I even serving him? So I thought, okay, I text her back, and I said, look, I will call you tomorrow. I need to talk to you tomorrow, because I can't do that text. I'm not 16, you know. But what I talked to her about, this girl has got over into demonic stuff, and I knew it. And it come out of the spirit, out of my spirit, and I said, will you say something for me? Will you repeat after me? And she said, "What?" I said, "Will you say in the blood of Jesus, the blood, just say the power in the blood." And she says, "No." She said, "I'm not going to say that." I said, "Why not?" I said, "Just say the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood. Say the blood of Jesus." She said, "I'm not going to say that. I will not say that." I thought, oh, my, I'm going back up. Thank God I was on the phone. And I thought, and then that just kept coming out of me, is that name, there's power in that name, there's that blood, he shed that blood was shed, and there's power in that blood, and I just kept speaking to her, there's power in the blood. I said, go to the old song, Power in the Blood. We all know that song. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Praise God. There's power in the blood. And I said, speak that blood. And that's the name. You know, and Craig, he said, Becky, you know, usually you can ask people, do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ that he rose from the dead? And he said, but the power in the blood. I said, you know, there's power in that blood. I said, but I kept just speaking that to her to say the power of the blood. But before we got off the phone, she never would say it. I asked her four times, and she never would say it. But she let me pray with her, and I prayed the power of God down on that. But it's that name, and it's listening to what you were saying. It's listening to, because that's been what I've been working on in myself, is hearing the voice of God, and hearing in God's voice to know what to say and know what to say. Mm-hmm. To a person to help minister to others, because she needs help, and I ain't through with her yet. She ain't done, because she called me, and Craig said that opens the door. She was reaching out to you. I said, yeah, I didn't call her. She called me. So she's hungry.
What's her first name?
Christy.
Christy, let's pray for Christy right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift Christy up before you. Father, whatever demonic forces has taking hold of her life, in the name of Jesus, we command those demonic forces to take their hands off of her. And in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you that the love of Jesus will be manifested to her, and the power of who he is will be manifested in her lives. And just like I heard over here, the eyes of her understanding will be enlightened, that she may know the hope of your calling in her life through Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. And we declare it done now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, that's good. So here's what we learned tonight. And you know, different people may have different thoughts. You got a thought? Come on, Gerard. I knew you would, by the way. I've been
last time I stayed too long, I got put out. I had to go stop my own church. I'm just joking. But when she was talking, it just brought something to my memory. I'm one of those people where I'm like, you know what? Show me in the word. So for years, I always want, like, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want this. I want it. You know. And the church where I was going to, it wasn't this. The gift wasn't functioning in the church. So I eventually left there, and then I came here, and then Mr. M. Jean and Wendy, they're gonna be wealthy when they get to heaven. So I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then I said, well, God, you know, I grew up in a holiness church, and I don't know if anybody's familiar with holiness churches or whatever, but everybody's speaking in tongues. You know, everybody, but you don't really see anything that's, it's like it has nothing. It's nothing to it.
Okay.
So when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I said, well, God, you know, what can I do with this? You know, other than just speak in tongues, you know? So then, I study the word a lot. And I know now he took me to 2 Timothy, And 2 Timothy, that's the last book that Paul wrote. That's the last letter he wrote before he died. So that, to me, I'm like, that's a very important letter. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul told Timothy, he said, listen, remember what happened when I laid my hands on you, Timothy? And I can imagine Timothy said, yeah, I remember. He said, you know, that thing that happened, you start praying in tongues. That thing, he says, that God give you three spirits. When you get born again, he give you three spirits that's imparted in you. Power, love, and a sound mind. Mm. And it's one spirit that will try to come against that, and that's the spirit of fear. Mm. So anytime you in fear, he says, stir up the gift. Mm. Stir it up. That's the only gift that we have that you can stir up at will. Anytime you get ready, you can stir it up. And it's the people at my church, I tell them, I'm like, listen, y'all, don't be the chosen frozen. You know, you have this gift, you know, use it. And the thing is that it's like I teach them, I'm telling them, listen, it don't have to be, you know, you facing 20 years in prison. You know, everything that tries to, you know, come against your love walk, you know, your sound mind. And your power, this is dunamis. This is, you know, this is the power that makes things effective. You know, so that brought a lot of perspective to it, because now I know how to actually, I can use it. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a weapon that can be used. Mm-hmm. You know, and this was, it probably don't sound like much, but it was a big deal to me, because I kept saying, I'm like, what is this? For, you know, people say, well, guess what? You know, go home and pray in the spirit. I'm like, okay. You know, just pray in the spirit. You know, pray more in the spirit. Pray more in the spirit. And I'm saying, okay, well, I'm praying in the spirit. But a lot of times we don't know how to direct our emotions and thoughts. Our emotions, we be doing some stuff, you know, and praying, and your emotions be here and there and there. So for me, when I'm using this gift, you know, I direct my emotions towards, guess what? I got a sound mind. I'll tell you, when I was listening to you, if you look at the apostles, after a certain point, they stopped saying, hey, have you given your life to Christ? And what they start saying was, guess what? Have you been baptized? Do you have this gift that's coming against your sound mind? Because if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, this is a spiritual warfare. This is a warfare. I mean, warfare means warfare to me. I don't know what it means in Greek, but in English, it's war, you know. And, you know, that gift, and I know now, because of some of the things that I've dealt with, you know, in my ministry and on the job and different things, you know, middle of the day, I go in the bathroom. I go to the car, wherever I need to go, pray in the spirit. And the more I do it, it's like, okay, I got this, because I understand that this is a spiritual warfare. When the toxic emotions, you know, of cares of things that you can't do anything about, right. You know, you can't control another person's mouth.
That's right.
You know, you can't control another person. You can't, most people can't control their kids. So you definitely, it's hard to control an adult, you know, but you know, now I know what it's for. I know what it's for. I go, I pray in the spirit and let it go.
That's good. All right. Amen. That's good. Amen. Okay, so let me bring this to a close. Jude tells us building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me just read that because a lot of what we're doing here, I know this is not a typical service. Just not. But what they, you know, what we're doing is we're edifying one another. All right. Now, he says, verse 20, Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's something that happens out of your spirit. Out of your belly, the Bible says, Jesus said, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But the problem sometimes that we have is to connect to those rivers of living water, because we got all this stuff going on the outside. So what happens is when you start praying in the Spirit, then You're starting to allow the Holy Spirit to start moving on the inside of you. The scripture says that you would be strengthened with might in your inner man. Everything happens in here. It's inside out, not outside in. So as you're praying in the Spirit, start building up. You get wisdom. Peace comes. Joy comes. All of these kinds of things. You'll get revelation of who Jesus is. What did we learn tonight? Well, we learned that we got to focus on the victorious Jesus and who he is now. Don't focus on the Jesus that's on the cross. Amen. We got to get a picture of that. The Bible says that in him might there be all preeminence. Everything that I do, he's preeminent in everything that I do. First place in everything that I do. Amen. The power of the blood of Jesus. That blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is that thing, you know, and that's representative of what happened in Acts chapter 12 when the death angel, if you will, was passing over through Egypt. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. When the blood is shed abroad in your heart, there's nothing that Satan can do to get through that unless you open the door to him. So power that is in the blood of Jesus. And then the word that Pat shared and the word that Gerard shared, those are just things that we can take and just build up. Amen. So, you know, just little words, little testimonies, things like that. You know, but it's going to expound into greater and greater things. The Bible says, despise not small beginnings. And some of you may think that, well, I'm not sure if I like this format or not. I don't know. I mean, we just, week to week, who knows what we'll do. We're just going to let God do stuff. Okay? And always come expecting to be used by God. Let's pray. Father, Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for who Jesus is. We thank you that he is all God, all man, sitting at the right hand, and that all power belongs to him. That he is the heir of all things, and that we have the marvelous and wonderful privilege of being a joint heir with him. How awesome is that? And that now he has the keys to hell and to death and all of those things, Father, that the name of Jesus is above every name. If we'll just have faith in his name, faith in who he is. Yeah, I'll mention that. The scripture just came to my mind where Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments and I will reveal myself, manifest myself, make myself clearly seen to you. It is Jesus' goal for him to make himself very, very real to each one of us, that you may be, that he may be seen by you. But this is something that you have to believe and that you have to receive. And just say, Jesus, I'm ready for that. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to reveal him to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for that word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.